Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Good to be here again. I'd like us to just sing this song together as we begin today's meeting. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song together. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing with me. Hallelujah. 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 Let's sing together. Say hallelujah. 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 Come on, I'm not going somewhere. Jesus, we worship, we worship, we worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. 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 What a beauty, what a privilege, what an honor to be one with you, our Father. And today, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the riches of the Spirit of Christ, which you have lavishly given to us. We have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your Son. And it is with this confidence that we behold your word today. We behold in your word the exegesis of the Father. We behold in your word the perfect description of the Father, namely Jesus Christ. And in him we see a perfect understanding of you in him, and a complete understanding of who we are in you. The riches of your Son are poured forth in the hearts of men, and every thought and every conduct are aligned with this reality. And under this atmosphere of truth and grace, under this atmosphere of Christ Jesus, confusion is banished, contradictions are banished, ignorance is banished, and truth reigns in power to the praise of your glory. Amen, amen, amen. Right. Thank you so much for joining in this meeting today. I believe it's the third day since we began. Do me a favor, keep commenting. Your comments would affect Facebook's algorithm, and more people who are already on this page would see the post, would see the live video, or the live audio rather, because of your comments. So please help in commenting so that the algorithm can show this to more persons who are already following this page. Right? Your comments will also help me know that you're following. The comments will also help me know that you're following. Hello, Rhea. Rhea, I will pray for you. I will pray for you. Let's begin. Let's continue from where we stopped last time. We're still talking about the prayer life of Jesus. I want you to understand that under this atmosphere, we don't have to say, let the sick be healed, you know, for them to be healed. I firmly believe that cancer can dematerialize under this atmosphere. I strongly believe that fibroids, ovarian cysts, hernia, you know, can scamper, can melt like wax on a sunny day under this atmosphere. Listen, I firmly believe. I know, like I know my name, that if you're sick under this atmosphere, healing is yours. Healing is yours. You'll be healed. Like it's a guarantee. It's in that reputation of Jesus. It's in his name. I'm confident. So if you're here, you have any infirmity in your body, you're here, you're partially deaf, or you're blind, or you have diabetes, or you have one infirmity or the other, you can receive healing right now. We don't need theatrics or gymnastics. You can receive your healing now as we speak. Okay, so let's go to the word. The prayer life of Jesus. Yesterday we were talking about the traits of a praying man, and we were looking at the fact that prayer was the priority of Jesus. Prayer was the priority of Jesus. And today I just want to quickly take it up from there and just go to the second trait you would see. The second trait you would see in the praying man, we'll look at Matthew chapter 14 and 23. If you can post that text in the comment session, that would be great. Matthew 14, 23. It says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. He went up into a mountain apart to pray. Mark the words, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. When the evening was come, he was there alone. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. He went out and departed into a solitary place. So he was there alone again and there prayed. Mark chapter 6 and verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. He went there alone. He went there alone. Luke 5:16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness. He withdrew himself. He withdrew himself. He retired. He retired into the wilderness and prayed. He retired into the wilderness and prayed. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. It came to pass in those days he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He continued all night in prayer to God. Now, if you were here from the beginning, we said from 1 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, the unexplained things about God. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the word, received up into glory. And we said that Jesus is this God made manifest in the flesh. He is God who became man. He is God who became man to reveal God to man. He is God who became man to reveal God to man. So God becoming man, we said, reveals to us not just God to man, but man as God intended. God becoming man reveals to us not just, you know, the nature of God, not just the character of God, but man as God intended. God becoming man reveals to us man as God intended. So in Jesus' humanity, we see the character of God. We see the nature of God. We see the personality of God. We see the goodness of God. We see the qualities of God. And apart from that, we also see man as God originally intended man to be. So when we see Jesus walking in love, we understand that man is a love creature. Man was designed to walk in love. When we see Jesus walk in power, we understand that man, as God intended, is a creature of power. So the new man in Christ is a power creature, okay? He doesn't pray for power. He releases power when he prays. When we see God in the form of man praying, we understand that the new man in Christ is a praying man. Now, we said that Jesus is God who became man, the Word made flesh, God who became man, and he was a praying man. Not only was he a praying man, he had seasons of prayer. He had seasons of scheduled personal prayer. So the trait of the new man as we see in Christ, the trait of the new man as we see in Christ, treats prayer as personal. Treats prayer as personal. The trait of the new man in Christ as a praying creature sees prayer as a personal thing, a personal and intimate, personal and sacred. The Bible says that Jesus withdrew himself. Jesus withdrew himself from Luke 5:16. He withdrew himself. God as man, you know, withdrew himself to pray. That's personal. God as man, showing us man as God intended, withdrew himself to pray. So man as God intended is a being that withdraws himself from the busyness of the day to pray. Man as God intended withdraws himself from the busyness of the day to pray. Mark 6:46, the Bible says he sent the people away and he departed into a mountain to pray. So man as God intended will have seasons in his life or in his daily experience where we have to put people away to pray. The new man in Christ will have seasons, scheduled seasons of prayer. Even though the man is a praying creature, he also schedules seasons to pray. You know, there are times where he would have to drive out people to pray because he places, you know, this high premium on prayer. There are times where he would have to drive people away to pray. There are times where he would have to shut down Facebook, shut down Instagram to pray. There are times where he would have to shut down YouTube to pray. There are times where he would have to shut down his phone, turn off his phone to pray, because he's a praying creature. And in that praying experience, he has seasons that he has scheduled, you know, just to celebrate and, you know, relate with his Father who is one with. Jesus did that. Why would he go to the mountain to pray? I mean, this is God in the form of man, living as man, depending on God. He went to the mountain. Why would he go to the mountain to pray though? Could he not pray in the bedroom? Of course he could. Could he not pray on the streets? Of course he could. He's a walking prayer. He's a prayer. So he's a walking prayer. The new man is a walking prayer. You know, he's prayer himself. You know, but even though he is prayer, he still has this premium in time spent alone with the Father. Time spent alone with the Father where he can be expressive without distraction. So the new man in Christ must not just pray. He must have a premium place for prayer. Okay? He must not just pray. He must have a premium place. Okay? In prayer. He must have a premium place in prayer. The mountaintop was the premium place of Jesus. It was the place where he was far away from distractions. Now, I don't know about you. Imagine transacting, you know, the Lord's business while cooking jollof rice. Of course, you're still praying, but there's so much you can do. Because you would be praying, and while you're saying, Father, in the name of your son, Jesus, I declare that, you know, Winnipeg is taken. We have taken the city. I draw the map of heaven on, you know, the map of the earth. While you're saying that, while you're declaring, while you're speaking in tongues, you will be tempted to have a taste of the jollof rice. You will be tempted to have a taste of the plantain chips or the dodo. As it's called, you'll be tempted to have a taste of the pounded yam and soup. You will be tempted. You know, you'll be distracted. The smell alone will distract you. So there are times where you will need to have the premium place. Set a time aside where you shut yourself up from distractions. There is a personal aspect to prayer that is non-transferable. There is a personal aspect to prayer that you cannot contract to other people. Listen, people can pray for you for sure. People can pray with you, but no one can pray your prayer. People can pray for you. People can pray with you, but no one can pray your prayer. Every believer must relate with God in a way that is personal. In a way that is personal. So you must have that time set aside from that 24-hour where you actually relate with the Father away from distractions, away from checking WhatsApp messages, Instagram messages, updates on Facebook to see who liked your post or not. You must have that time where you shut yourself out from text messages and calls. Every believer must relate with God in a way that is personal. We are one with him. We are one with his presence. We practice that presence. We practice that reality in these times that we set aside. Okay? Personal prayer, write this down. Personal prayer is an antidote to all that is in the world. Personal prayer, we'll come to that, is an antidote to all that is in the world. Is an antidote to all the distractions in the world, to all the world has to offer, to the pride that the world throws towards you, the lusts, the passions, the desires, both legitimate and illegitimate. Jesus retired from the world in these times of prayer. Jesus resigned from the earth in these times of prayer. You know, when I schedule times to pray, I am resigning from the stress that is in the world. I am resigning from the hustle and bustle. I am resigning from the process, the perspective of the worldly systems. I'm resigning from all the distractions, the noise, the emptiness in the world. I am retiring from these things. Jesus, through personal prayer, danced to the audience of one. You know, we will need such times to dance to the audience of one. You know, we live in a world where everyone wants to impress on you their perspectives, their perceptions, their propaganda, the news, the media. You come online, you see these things, you see videos, you see texts, you see all sort of things. You go to your TV, you are bombarded every day. The world wants to disciple you, as it were. They want to teach you how to think, how to talk, what to believe. They want to teach you how to experience life as we know it. But you know, the new man has another reality. He's a heavenly man. He's a heavenly man. When I schedule these times to pray, it's not as if God would not hear me if I don't have those scheduled sessions. No, it is my way of retiring from the word, resigning from the word, resigning from this earth. Write this down very quickly. If you see the wisdom in prayer, if you see the wisdom in prayer, you will see the foolishness in temptations. If you see the wisdom in prayer, you would see the foolishness in temptations. We'll come to that again. If you see the wisdom in prayer, you would see the foolishness in temptations. In personal seasons and scheduled times of prayer, what happens is that not only do you practice the presence of God, not only do you celebrate your union with the Father, not only do you celebrate the fatherhood of God, you also see the wisdom in all that He is and has. You see the wisdom in His word clearly, and you affirm that wisdom. When you come out of such sessions, you don't think like mere men. You can't be pressured to make stupid decisions when you have rehearsed the future already in prayers. It's a way of rehearsing the future, such scheduled times. You should have that time where you are at your optimum. Not when you have gone to work and you are tired, you have discussed with friends, you have played games, and now you are very, very tired, and now you want to give that tired body to prayer. It's possible, of course, to do that, but give your premium time and your premium place to prayer. Pray when you are more alert, when your mind is more alert. Okay? Jesus did this. God, as man intended, gives His premium time to prayer. For some of us, it can be very early in the morning. For some of us, it can be late at night. For some of us, it can be at the noon time. Give that time, your premium time, to prayer. Okay? If you see the wisdom, like I said, in prayer, you would see the foolishness in temptations. There are practices in personal prayer, personal scheduled times of prayer, that optimizes the effects of our prayer life. It eliminates distractions when praying. You can tell me that we would have the same effect when I eliminate all the distractions, when I dance solely to the audience of one, and then there is someone who is praying and, you know, opening Instagram at the same time. We can have the same results. We can have the same effects. Of course, we have the same Father. We have the same access. But we can't have the same effect. Why? Because my prayer time is more optimized. You see, the effects of prayer are optimized when we are in locations that we can be expressive in. The effects of prayer are optimized when we are in locations that we can be expressive. Jesus was expressive in prayer. We'll come to that. We see that in Hebrews 5, 7. He was very expressive in prayer. He was not a gentleman in prayer. Now, I talk in a way that is very gentle, but I'm not gentle when I pray. Now, does it mean that God will not hear me if I'm gentle? That cannot be true. It only means that I get to employ every part of me. I get to give my emotions expression. I get to allow my will be more in tune, you know, with my spirit by me being expressive. Jesus was expressive in prayer. He could not be expressive in Peter's mother's house or Peter's house or Peter's room. He could not. There is a limit to how much you can be expressive in an open space. There's a limit to how much you can be expressive at work, even though you can pray at work. There's a limit to how much you can be expressive in a classroom, even if you can be praying in that classroom. But there's no such thing as you being in a place where you can be as expressive as possible. Prayers are optimized. The effects of prayer are optimized when we are in locations that we can be expressive. This is why we devote seasons. We schedule time to pray. Because we want to be expressive. We want to optimize the effect of our prayer. All right? Now, let's go back to Luke chapter 6 from verse 12. Now, we're just beginning. Luke chapter 6 from verse 12. The Bible says, it came to pass that in those days, he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now, this verse blows my mind all the time. He continued all night in prayer to God. We see in Jesus that he not only was prayer personal for him, there was perseverance in prayer. He persevered in prayer. Jesus persevered in prayer. So the new man has a tendency not just to pray personally, but to also persevere in prayer. Jesus prayed all night. God, as man, prayed all night. The word there, all night, means to sit throughout the night in prayer. Jesus, God becoming man, prayed all night. That means man, as God intended, has the capacity to spend hours and hours and hours with our Father. It's our nature. Listen, the real you has the tendency to spend the night with God. My Father, this is so powerful. Jesus spent the whole night with the Father. That's so beautiful. That's so powerful. Now, the Father always heard Jesus when he prayed. Yet, Jesus prayed all night. So that means he must not be praying all night so the Father can hear him. The purpose of him spending all night in prayer was not so the Father could hear him. So there is more to prayer than the Father hearing us. The Father hearing us is a constant. The Father hearing us is a constant. I don't have to add extra gymnastics for the Father to hear me. No. So that must not be the reason why he prayed all night. Like I said, prayer is your celebration of the fatherhood of God. It's your celebration of your union with God. It's the way we rehearse the future. It's the way we rehearse the future with God. Now, when he did this, he came out and he began to select people to be with him. He had already rehearsed that in the prayer time. You know, I rehearse the future with the Father. I know what I'm expected to do. I know when to do it and I know how to do it because I linger in prayer. The new man knows what to do, how to do, when to do it when he lingers in prayer. The new man has a tendency to linger in prayer. Now, in Jewish, if you study the Jewish culture, When he says he spent all night in prayer, it's talking about 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. The night begins from 6 p.m. The evening begins from 6 p.m. Okay? The evening begins from 6 p.m. And then the morning begins from 6 a.m. So Jesus continued at least from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. That's at least 12 hours. 12 hours. That's how much he lingered in the place of prayer. He lingered in the place of prayer. So it's obvious that Jesus did not pray for long hours for God to hear him. It therefore means that extended hours of prayer was not for God's benefit. It was for his own benefit. Jesus did not pray long hours to impress the Father. He prayed long hours for the Father's will to be impressed upon his mind, his will, his imagination, his intellect, his memory. Listen, as the new man, sir, you will need, it's not negotiable, you will need to have times where you linger with the Father in prayer. Not because the Father needs it, but because you need it. Not to get the Father to hear you, but to actually get to impress the Father's will on your mind, on your will, on your imagination, on your intellect, on your memory. Jesus employed his soul to enjoy God. Listen, say after me, I employ my soul to enjoy the Father. And I do that as I linger in prayer. See, when I linger in prayer, I'm not trying to get something I'd never had so I can show off. No. I am employing my soul to enjoy God. Jesus already had a busy day. He needed to rest, yet he also needed to pray. So what did he do? He found rest in the labor of his prayer. The new man finds rest in the labor of his prayer. Listen, 12 hours prayer is labor. 1 hour is labor. 2 hours is labor. 3 hours is labor. 4 hours is labor. However, in that labor is rest. Are you following this? In that labor is rest. The new man has a tendency to persevere in prayer, to stay there. You know what it means to stay there? It means that you have 1 million reasons not to. To continue means that there were reasons to have stopped. He had a reason to stop, but he continued. So how do I stay in the place of prayer? How do I persevere in the place of prayer? I start with 10 minutes. I say, okay, let me just pray for 10 minutes. And then I pray 10 minutes. And I say, okay, I'll just add 5 more minutes. And I pray for that 5 more minutes. I say, okay, I'll just add another 10 more minutes. And I pray again. And I say, okay, I'll just add another 10 more minutes. Before you know it, it's 1 hour. It's 2 hours. It's 3 hours. It's 4 hours. It's 5 hours. It's 6 hours. It's 7 hours. It's 8 hours. 9 hours. 10 hours. 11 hours. 12 hours. Now, this is so powerful. This is your nature. Your new nature delights in praying for long hours. Not because God hears you better when you pray for long hours, but because the will of God, the mind of God, the understanding of Christ is crested on your mind, your will, your imagination, your memory, your emotions. This is not prayer, but this is not coming to prayer with prayer points. Listen, the point in prayer is never a prayer point. The point in prayer is that you pray. The point in prayer is not a prayer point. The point in prayer is that you pray. And you even have a language. You have a new language. You have a new language. So, with that tribal language, you stay there. You linger. You linger. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour. You linger there. It's labor, but in that labor is rest. Our kind of rest and refreshing may look like labor because of the passion we exude from it. But it's But that labor is a refreshment. There is something extended hours of prayer does to the man that prays. There is something extended hours of prayer does to the man that prays. We see that clearly in the life of Jesus. If you're listening to me, this has to be your culture. You need to have a culture where you stay there. Where are you rushing to? Where are you rushing to? You stay there at least an hour a day. You stay there at least 2 hours a day. You grow from that point. You persevere. You pray. You pray. Just remain there. It's labor, but in that labor is rest. All that the Father has is yours. Listen, all that the Father has is yours. But prayer is teaching your soul to be impressed by all that the Father is and has. Prayer is teaching your soul to be settled in the riches, in the resources, in the wisdom, in the power of the Spirit over anything else. Prayer, like I said, is teaching your soul to be settled in the riches, in the resources, in the wisdom, in the power of the Spirit over anything else. To be more settled on that fact. To be more settled on that fact. Quickly, I want to give you 16 reasons why, you know, we labor in prayers, why we spend time, why we persevere in prayers. 16 reasons why. Why did Jesus spend so much time praying? Why did he spend so much time praying? Why does the new man spend so much time praying? You know, people always say, you know, it's not about praying for 1 hour. You're a joker. You are joking. Listen, write this down. This will help you. When you're praying for things, you're not expected to stay more than 5 minutes in praying for things. When you're praying for things, just pray for things. Pray, you ask, and in that asking, you receive. All right? Mark, the principle of Mark 11:23 applies only to praying for things. But when you're praying for people, when you're praying for yourself, when you're praying for man, when prayer involves man, the will of men, we spend time. So I cannot pray someone to be more receptive to the gospel with a 5-minute kind of prayer. It won't work, sir. Quote me anywhere. Quote me anywhere. When prayer involves the will of men, that prayer must be for extended hours of time. It must be, sometimes it can even take years. Years and years and years. It can take days. It can take hours and hours. When I'm praying for things, I don't need to spend time. I just ask and receive. But when my prayer involves me, my will, the will of other men, circumstances that are tied to the will of men, no, we labor. We stay there. There has to be a laboring. So 16 reasons, 16 facts that we learn from Jesus, and we learn from those who studied his life and learned from him by precept and by example. Why do we labor in prayer? Why do we persevere in prayer? Why do we spend hours and hours and hours praying? I want to give you the reasons. Now, before I give you those reasons, remember that you cannot control the will of man in prayer. That's why we spend time praying. If you can control the will of men in prayer, it will be witchcraft. But you cannot. So what do? You can orchestrate circumstances and create opportunities to aid man's will in God's direction in the place of prayer. And that prayer is labor. It cannot be 2 minutes. You have a brother who's not saved. You cannot pray him into salvation by saying, Father, I thank you because he's saved. Are you joking? You're not serious. You will never see that person saved. You may never see that person saved. It has to do with labor. Listen, people do not, the will of God is not automatically done. It's not automatically done. So we spend time praying. So 16 facts very quickly. Fact number one, please post it, post this on the comment section. Fact number one, my mind, my will, my emotions reap the rewards of my prayers when I linger in prayers. My mind, my will, my emotions reap the reward of my prayers when I linger in prayers. My mind, my will, my emotions reap the reward of my prayer when I linger in prayer. That means prayer changes me. I do not pray to change God. I linger in prayer, and in that lingering, in that waiting, in that place of staying, I am the one that is changed. So when I pray to the Father, I am the target. When I pray to the Father, I am targeting myself for transformation. Prayer does not change God. It changes the praying man. The more I linger in prayer is the more I am changed. My mind is changed. My emotions become spiritually charged when I pray, when I stay in place of prayer. I pray in tongues. What I'm doing is my spirit begins to subject my mind to the will of God. My spirit takes a hold of my emotions. The inward witness is more active because my emotions become spiritually charged. The Spirit of God expresses himself through my emotions. I can pray and pray and pray that way and begin to feel, I was going to travel tomorrow morning, but suddenly in my emotions, I lose every taste and desire to travel. Unknowingly, that there was going to be disaster at the end of the day. I don't even know about that. But as I linger in prayer, my emotions become supernaturally charged. The Spirit of God begins to paint the will of God on my mind, paint the will of God on my emotions. The inward witness becomes very, very clear, loud and clear. That's why we linger in prayer. That's why we stay there. It's labor, but it still rests. It's refreshing. My mind, my emotions, my will, they reap the rewards of my prayer. Remember, I am one with God. All that he has, I have. Because I am in him and he is in me. However, I reap the rewards, the benefits of that reality for my emotions, for my mind, when I give myself to extended hours of prayer. You can't do this with 5 minutes prayer. You can't pray for 2 minutes and expect your emotions to be supernaturally charged. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't work that way. Somebody offends you. You can't pray 2 minutes and expect that offense to disappear from your emotion. Expect that hurt to go. No, you spend time praying. Matter of fact, when James said the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available, he was talking about that in the context of relationships. Healing hearts and forgiving one another. So, to settle relationships, we stay in the place of prayer and correct our emotions there. We regulate our emotions supernaturally through extended hours of prayer. The devil cannot press the buttons of the man who lingers in prayer. Listen, some believers, the devil, all he does is to press your button every day. He sends some people there to just annoy you, and you are angry, and your whole day is ruined. Your whole day is ruined. They mess you up day after day. Can't you think? Go and stay in the place. Go and linger in prayers. If the devil has your buttons, he will press it every day. People will offend you. People will hurt you. People will gossip you, backbite you, annoy you. But when you linger in the place of prayer and you come out and they talk, you're seen from heaven's perspective. You're seeing beyond them. It's different, sir. The view is different. I know what it means to pray for 5 minutes. And I know what it means to pray for us. I can tell you boldly, the view is different. The view is different. If you are hot-tempered, you're here, you always get angry. You always want to extend the right hand of fellowship to the face of your brethren for annoying you. Stay in prayers. Linger there. Something will change. It is not God that will change. It is you. It is you. So I charge my mind, my will, my emotions in God's direction as I'm given to extended hours of prayer. My emotions, like I said, are spiritually charged. My will, write this down, my will becomes a spiritual valve by which spiritual realities are practiced and expressed. My will becomes a spiritual valve. You know a valve, right? I can lend my will to the will of God better as I linger in prayer. My will becomes like a spiritual valve opened to every spiritual reality, to practicing spiritual realities and expressing it. Have you observed that? For those of you who have ever tried it, have you observed that you are more disposed to happily praying for even the sick when you spend time in prayer? You don't think twice. You don't think twice. You spend maybe 5 hours in prayer, 6 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours in prayer, and you come out and somebody tells you, oh, there's a sick person. You don't even think. Before you drive out, before you cast out the devil, you don't look at the seriousness of the issue. Because your will is like a spiritual valve opened, permitting spiritual realities to be expressed and practiced. So if you are here and you have been experiencing powerlessness in your life, listen, as the new man, you're not powerless. You are the reservoir of God's power. There is power lodged in your spirit. You need to linger in prayer. You need to linger in prayer. Number two, I've given you so many points already, but number two, prayer enhances my love walk. Prayer, that means extended hours of prayer now, enhances my love walk. When I linger in prayer, I reason about my brothers and sisters in Christ along the lines of God's will for them. I reason about my brothers and sisters in Christ along the lines of God's will for them. I tend to be more selfless towards those I consider in prayer. I tend to be more selfless towards those I consider in prayer. I tend to release love more when I pray for people. Prayer enhances my relationship with others. And this prayer cannot be 2 minutes prayer. It can't be 2 minutes prayer. It enhances my relationship with others. Listen, it's easier to extend love to you in person when I have extended love to you in prayers. Let me say that again. It's easier for me to extend love to you in person when I have extended love to you in prayers. It's easier for me to extend love to you in person when I have already extended love to you in prayers. Give yourself to prayer, for example. Pray for those in your local church. Spend time praying for them. You will discover that your attitude towards people will change. The way you see people will change. There are many believers who feel that they have the gift of discernment, but they are not discerning. They are just suspicious. They're just suspicious. If you're always seeing the bad in people, you know the bad about everybody in your local church. You have one bad thing to say about even every good person. Something is wrong with you. You're not lingering in prayer. As you linger in prayer, the way you see people will change. The way you speak about people will change. Your worth for people, your sense of worth, your honor for people will change. My love walk is enhanced when I give myself to extended hours of prayer. Jesus was able to say, I tell you, pray for your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Why? Why would I do that? It means that prayer is a way I practice love. It's a way I practice love. It's a way I practice love. It's a way I practice that divine nature in me. When I walk in love, what I'm doing is I'm just showing the world the reality of my union with God. Because that love is the nature of God, right? Prayer enhances my expression of who I really am. So to be true to who you are, you have to spend time praying. Spend time praying. Spend time praying. Begin from 5 minutes, like we said, then continue in prayer to 10 minutes, then continue in prayer to 15 minutes, then continue in prayers to 20 minutes, then continue in prayer to 30 minutes, then continue in prayer to 1 hour, then continue in prayers. Just keep continuing in prayer. Linger there in prayer. It will change how you see people. It will change it. It's not magic. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. Number three, prayer makes me a champion of God's cause. The more I give myself to extended hours of prayer, the more I become a champion of God's cause. I become a champion of God's cause. I become a champion of God's cause. I become a champion of God's, of our family business. Listen, salvation is our family business. Salvation for men is our family business. I position myself to champion that business, that cause of the Father, when I spend time praying. When I spend time praying. When I spend time praying, I become a champion of God's cause. Prayer makes me a better evangelist. I'm in a position to communicate God's love more when I linger in prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's check out that verse of scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's see the will of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4, I believe. If you're there, you can post it. If you're not there, say, wait for me. Wait for me. I don't know about you, but I'm just enjoying myself today. Although time is counting, but I'm having fun, holy fun. After this meeting, some of you would spend your first 10 hours, 12 hours, 15 hours lingering with the Father in prayers. And then you would tell me if the view is not different. I know, sir, the view is different. The view is different. I can tell you that for sure. Why am I always talking about prayer? Because I know what I would have become if I was not given to prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1. It says, you therefore, my son. Sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I was in 2 Timothy. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men, and then verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So this prayer, I'm praying for all men, for kings and all of those who are in authority. It's in line with salvation. It's in view of salvation. In view of salvation, I pray for all men. In view of salvation, I pray for kings and all those in authority. In view of salvation, I don't pray for them that they may have good governance. If they are saved, we will have good governance. So it's first in view of salvation, I pray for them. Because the will of God is that they may be saved. Now, when I spend time and I bring these guys and I begin to pray about them, that they will come to the knowledge of the truth, I am more disposable to preach to these people. It's easier for me to preach to you when I have been praying for you. Because my mind will be conditioned to see or look for opportunities to present Christ to you. So, Prayer makes me a champion of God's cause. It makes me a champion of the cause of salvation, God's cause of salvation, God's will of salvation. Show me a man who's always at the forefront, always wanting people saved, always wanting the will of God done. I will show you that man who lingers in prayer. I will show you that man who lingers in prayer. If I linger in prayer, I become a champion of the cause of God. Colossians chapter 4 from verse 4, verse 12. Talking about Epaphras. Colossians chapter 4 from verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What is the cause of God for his church? That they stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. Is this done by default? No, it's not done by default. There has to be men who enroll themselves to be champions of this cause. Epaphras in prayer enrolled himself to be a champion of God's cause for the local church. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, I'm a champion of God's cause. 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 What number are we now? Prayer, write this down. Prayer rescues me from being an entitled Christian in my local church. Prayer rescues me from being an entitled believer in my local church. That means prayer enhances communal living. Prayer enhances communal living. When I give myself to extended hours of prayer, I give up my right to be an entitled believer. Now, there are many entitled believers in the local church. These guys will never grow. Mark them. Entitlement mentality. You are angry that nobody came to visit you. You are angry that nobody told you that they are praying for you. You are angry about everything. You are always angry. You feel that people should do everything for you all the time. You are always offended. You are a baby. In your mind, you are acting like a baby. You are a babe. You need to repent. But you know the good thing is, as you linger in prayers, you begin to put others first. You begin to put the interest of others first before your own interest. You are more likely to be offended when you don't linger in prayer, sir. The more we linger in prayers, the sweeter our community becomes as a local church. Who has time to keep malice? Who has time to gossip? Who has time to backbite? It is that person that does not linger. He doesn't linger. And yet he is criticizing others who are lingering in prayers. You don't pray for even 1 hour. You can't tarry 1 hour. Yet you are criticizing others who are doing it. Can you see that you are a practicing baby? Listen, an entitlement mentality will stop you from lingering in prayers, or lingering in prayers will stop you from an entitlement mentality. Colossians 1 from verse 9 to 12, we see the beauty. Colossians 1 from verse 9. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray. Paul says, we do not cease to pray. We don't cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Paul is not being entitled here. Paul is not telling them here, for this course, when I heard you were doing well, I told God, Father, punish them because they are doing well and I planted and they are not giving me money. Paul was not an entitled believer. We see in his posture the tendency to linger in prayer, not for himself, but for others. When last did you linger in prayers? And it got to the point where you began to travail, moan, groan, not for yourself, but for others. Listen, that's your nature. Your nature loves to groan, to labor in the place of prayer for other people. That's your real nature. That's the real you. I am presenting to you today the real you. The real you. And I'm calling for you to give this real you a chance. Stop being an entitled believer. Offended with pastors, offended with your elders, offended with your brethren, offended with the newcomer who just came, offended with the sinner, offended about everything. When would you grow up? You have to grow up. Philippians 1:9. Paul had the same perspective, the very same perspective. Philippians 1:9. Philippians chapter 1 from verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now, anytime you see prayer, you would always see the tendency to put others first. This is the power, the tremendous power that effectual fervent prayer makes available. It's not just prayer, it's not just power to heal the sick, not just power to raise the dead, although there is that power. It's not just power to cast out devils. It's power to put others first. It's power to put the interest of others before you. It's power to be selfless. Selfless service. It's power to reveal Christ in all his fullness, even while you are still in this mortal tent. Am I still communicating here? Are you still following? Are you tired? Let me know. Am I still communicating? Are you still there? Amen. Amen. So I develop godly interest for others as I linger in prayer. Paul had godly interest for the Philippian church. Paul had godly interest developed for the Colossian church. Paul had godly influence, godly interest developed for the Ephesian church. As I linger in prayers, I begin to develop godly interests for others. Godly interest for others. Godly interest for others. Godly interests for others. Godly interest for others. All right? What number are we now? Next point. Prayer deepens my spiritual convictions. Prayer deepens my spiritual convictions. This is not 5 minutes prayer. It's not 5 minutes prayer. Prayer deepens my spiritual convictions. That means I develop godly persuasions in prayer. I develop godly persuasions in prayer. So why do we spend hours upon hours praying? Why do we spend 5 hours praying, 1 hour praying, 9 hours praying, 12 hours praying? Because prayer is the birthplace of spiritual convictions. Godly persuasions are birthed in the place of prayer. Godly persuasions are birthed in the place of prayer. Godly persuasions are birthed in the place of prayer. Now, if you are a preacher of the gospel, listen to this very, very carefully. You will never fulfill your ministry. You will never fulfill your destiny, as it were, in quotes. You will never fulfill your call if you don't have spiritual convictions, basic convictions. In fact, you will sell Jesus for 40 pieces of silver if you don't have godly persuasions developed. You will soon sell handkerchiefs. You will sell holy water. You will sell sand. You will monetize the gospel if you don't have convictions. You will fall for anything if you don't have deep convictions. We need men who have deep convictions, godly persuasions. And this is not a 5 minutes job. Luke 22 from verse 39. This is the prayer in the garden, right? Jesus knew he was about to suffer. Now, let me tell you this. Jesus was not afraid of dying on the cross. He wasn't afraid of the spiritual death. What made him tremble was spiritual death. He was going to be made sin. One who is perfect righteousness was going to be made sin and separated from the Father. That was why he cried. That's why he didn't want the cross. That's the only reason why. It wasn't that he was afraid of the nails or anything or the whips. No, he was going to be made sin. He was going to taste death for us. Now, that was why he quaked. He didn't want that. So in verse 39, it says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. So he was always going there. And his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Now mark that word. Verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. What is that cup? He was going to be made sin, and sin was going to be judged on him. That is the cup he was trying to avoid. All right? Now, there are believers who have received Christ who died more gruesome deaths than crucifixion. So it wasn't that he was afraid of the nails. No, he was going to be made sin for us. He was going to taste spiritual death and then go to hell. He didn't want that. The Father was to turn his face on him. That pain of separation from the Father pushed him to pray. And he told the Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That's a conviction. That's a persuasion. He was wrestling, not with God. He was wrestling to the point where the persuasions that God wanted him to have won. So we wrestle in prayers until that godly persuasion wins from within us. He says, nevertheless, not my will. Not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Now the angel strengthened him to do what? Verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. So that strength was to pray more. He prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So Jesus won the battle and was able to successfully carry out the plan of God, the plan of salvation, because he spent extended hours with the Father, developing godly persuasions in prayer. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. As a man of God, as a preacher, what do you say to yourself? As you spend time praying, you develop godly persuasions that say, nevertheless, I may not have money in my account, but I will not fleece the sheep. I may not have money in my account, but no matter how bad it gets, I will not sell holy water. I will not sell holy sand. I will not sell handkerchiefs. I will not merchandise the gospel. Those persuasions are birthed in prayers. Listen, if you make persuasions out of the spur of the moment, you will fall. And great will be your crash. Peter made such declarations. Oh, Father, Jesus, if all leave you, I will not leave you. If all leave you, I will not leave you. He didn't pray. He didn't spend time processing that persuasion, birthing that conviction. It was not a conviction.
It was just emotional. And he failed. He failed successfully. You don't just declare to say, Jesus forever, ministry forever. No matter what happens. Listen, when they give you slap, that kind of slap where, you know, the five fingers show on your face. Yeah? And they rub and they beat you up. Will you still say ministry forever? You are able to say it when you spend time lingering with the Father in prayer. Jesus was able to bear the weight of his assignment because of convictions forged in prayer. Jesus was able to endure the harshness and shame of the cross because of the convictions forged in prayer. Jesus was able to avoid the resistance to follow the path of least resistance because of the convictions forged in prayer. Jesus was able to do God's will, God's way, because of spiritual convictions forged in prayer. Now, remember that in the garden, let's look at Matthew 26, you will observe that he prayed for at least 3 hours here. He prayed for at least 3 hours. Matthew 26 from verse, oh wow, time is fast spent already and I was just talking. Okay, let's round up here. Let me read this and then we would round up, okay? Matthew 26, then we'll continue on Monday. There's so much to cover. Matthew 26 from verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face. How did he pray? He fell on his face. How did he pray? He fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Now, this is a summary. This is not that you just said it once. This is a summary of the entire prayer, you know, the entire prayer burden he had. Okay. Verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? That means he had been there for 1 hour. So that 1 hour cannot just be, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. No, he was there for 1 hour. It was there for 1 hour. So he came after 1 hour. So when you're praying, when you're preserving in prayer, this is something on the, you know, just by the wayside. When you're preserving in prayer, it's okay to take little breaks. So he prayed for 1 hour, then he paused. He went to check his disciples. He prayed for 1 hour, he paused. This is his style. You know, you can pray for 10 hours stretch. Practice that from time to time. You can pray 12 hours straight. But you can also pray 1 hour, take a break, come back, pray another 1 hour, take a break, come back another 1 hour, take a break. So that's just, we're learning here by precept and by example, okay? Now, let's go back to the main point I was trying to point out. So he told them, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. That's 41. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. 42. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. You see, he's developing a persuasion. And he came and found them asleep again. That means, you know, he had spent another hour. That's 2 hours already. At least 2 hours already. 44. You know, 44. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time. saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping? So probably he had prayed here for at least 3 hours. Doing what? Developing spiritual persuasions. He already knew that this was the path he was to go. But he was developing spiritual persuasions, convictions. Listen, young ministers like you and I must spend time in prayers to develop spiritual persuasions, convictions, that would enable us not bow to the devil, not bow to mammon, not bow to the trends, not bow to systems of men, that will enable us not cower away from persecution. What would you do if, you know, you've studied the Word of God and then, you know, you're in a local church and you guys have been 10 for 5 years and somebody comes to you and say, oh, there's a formula. Just do this and this and this and this and your church will blow. I don't know why I'm saying this, but probably there's a man of God watching me today, or there are elders, pastors watching me today. Listen, men of God. Develop those persuasions. Those days are coming. Those days are coming. Those days are coming. Those days are coming where you will be under so much pressure to perform. Days are coming where you will be under so much pressure to give in. Days are coming where you don't have money in your pocket and you know that you can manipulate people to get the money briefly. Those days are coming. What do? You linger in prayers. Now. You linger in prayers now. Develop those persuasions now, while it is early. Music ministers, you hear, you communicate the gospel through songs. Develop those persuasions now. Ministers of the gospel, evangelists, develop those persuasions now. Otherwise, you will bow to the pressure of the moment. Okay? You will bow to the pressure of the moment. Let's pray. Let's pray. If you can pray, you know, with your own tribal language, with the language of your spirit. Pray now. Pray now. Koran toko skabalando brandi ikorata shobalato. Balando ko zebrendo rikatala teno ko sabrande eskobala dia. Ligondo oskabara nikorande esobalande eshotadiga. Salando, salando, balande kota, arano ko oske. Mando, brando, ko zalido, kalandigo, maratoko, sola baratia. Balandongo oskabaranango, isko brendo kora ashotala dia. Manda baranoko oskola nikaloduska. Riko dom shaprande isko baladi iska. Behold, the clouds are getting darker. The clouds are getting darker. The climate's getting harsher. But you must stay in the place of prayer. 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 You will need that stamina, the stamina you gain from prayer. You will need that stamina for the opposition coming. For there is a great opposition coming. There is a great opposition coming. Rumondo sabalato kora ashabrande, ranaka sonde eladiga, maradongo oskobalande eshabrande eladongo, rokotiza alananka inokonze lekardiga, maratondo ozabaladia. There is great opposition coming. It will sweep many away. It will sweep many away. Many shall be sorrowful, because the rage against the church will increase. Rage against the church will increase. There will be disdain for the things of the Spirit. But you must stand fast, stand firm, stand firm. For by you, by your boldness, by your declaration of the gospel, by the stance that you take, by that stamina, that deep-rootedness in my love, you will be able to turn those wolves into sheep again. You won't be able to turn those wolves into sheep. The wolves will be turned into sheep. The wolves will be turned into sheep. Only be strong. Only plant yourself. Only plant yourself. Deep rooted in my love. Deep rooted in my love. Stay and linger still. Linger still in that place of prayer. Linger still in that place of prayer. You will see changes in your ministry. Changes in the songs you write. Changes in the, you know, in the words, in the forcefulness of your words. You would see changes. You would see changes in your attitude. You would see improvements in your character. Your thoughts and conduct aligned with my reality as you stay in that place of prayer. Rokoton se valanda arconde isho balato monda caso libra dongo arandigo scapalando corandiga scopratana ananongo oscaparatia. You would also see change, change, change. You would see change in the way the power of God is manifest through you. You would see change. You would see more people healed. You would see, you know, the sick healed, you would see the miraculous even more. You would see God in action. You would see God in action. Yes, you would see God in action. You would see God in action. You will know what to do. You will know what to do. You will know what to do as you linger in that place of prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a pleasure hosting you today. We continue on Monday. Watch out for notifications. I will let you know when we're going live. Thank you again for being part of this meeting today, and I hope to see you soon. Bye.